Vishnu Padayo Krishna Prishnayo Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivesesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Namaste Girirajaya Shri Gaurvadana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayine Vancha Kalpatarubhaisya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ādādhyo Bhagavān Vrajesha Tanayas Tattāma Shri Vrindāvanam Ramyakāchirupāsana Vrajavadu Vargena Vākalpita Śrīmad Bhāgavatam Amalam Purānam Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam Idam Tatavanapara. There are five convictions in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and two of them are: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is worshipped along with his transcendental abode, Vrindavan. Krishna is supreme in Vrindavan. His divine abode is supreme. Whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear the name of Krishna or a song glorifying Krishna, he would be thrown into fits of ecstasy. And when he, Krishna, Krishna, and when he even heard mention of Vrindavan, he longed to go there immediately. These two, Krishna and Vrindavan, belong together and can never be separated. It is known that Krishna will never ever step even 1 millimeter, what to speak of a whole step, out of Vrindavan. And therefore those who are after Krishna are after Vrindavan. And those who are after Vrindavan will soon realize Krishna. Even if they come like tourists come to Vrindavan Dham, because Vrindavan and Krishna are not separated, their inclination to worship Krishna will be irrevocably arisen. As Jiva Goswami explains in his commentary in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that a slight touch with Vrindavan Dham awakens bhava or a devotional ecstatic feeling towards Syam Sundar Krishna. The two are linked together. You cannot have the sun without the sun rays. They belong together. You cannot have Vrindavan without Krishna and Krishna without Vrindavan. When Lord Chaitanya in Puri heard a song sung in the temple by Devadasi for the pleasure of the Lord on the throne, when he had heard that this glorification of the name and so on of the Lord, he raced towards that singer, forgetting all outward considerations of ashram and so on. He was not stopped by the many hedges and thorny bushes which were there, and just raced through. His cloth must have caught here and there. And only in the last minute, Govinda Das could bring him into external consciousness by explaining, "Don't embrace the singer. It's a woman singing." "Govinda," said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now fully in external consciousness, "you saved my life." When the Lord heard about Krishna's song, glorification of Krishna, kirtan, he would forget everything. And similarly, when he was hearing about Vrindavan Dham, even only if he was seeing in a dream, he would immediately decide to go there. Once he had a revelation in the dream of the Maharas, the Rasa dance in Vrindavan. And relishing this sweet dream, he did not want to awaken from the dream. He overslept the normal time. So Govinda, his servant, being afraid that, "My Lord, what will come with your regulated daily schedule? It is already so late," woke him up, and he was taken away from that vision. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried and said, "Govinda, what have you done? You've taken me away from this vision of the Rasa dance in Vrindavan. Where will I find my Lord now, where you have taken him away from me?" And Govinda said, "Quickly take your bath. You will find him in the temple." Mahaprabhu went with Govinda into the temple and had a beautiful darshan of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra from the pillar. But as we know, his darshan was very, very unique. He would see not exactly what we would see when we see Jagannath. I don't know what you see, but what a normal pilgrim sees. He saw Syam Sundar Krishna on the altar with the Braj Krishna, because he was in the Vrindavan consciousness. This was Mahaprabhu's consciousness. He said once, "Mora mana Vrindavana, my mind is Vrindavan." He repeated this. So he saw the Lord of Vrindavan there. Now, and he felt great eagerness. The pastime has different aspects. I will not tell it entirely. This has to be told. There was one Orissa lady, maybe a simple village lady, who was not able to see the altar due to the massive crowds. And in front of her was the tallest of all sannyasis, Gaura Shiromani. And in great desperation and eagerness to see the Lord, she somehow managed, maybe she had experience from climbing trees as a village woman to take fruits or branches of the tree for cooking. But she managed to climb up the back of Gauranga Mahaprabhu to see and enjoyed seeing the Lord from an elevated position. Of course, Govinda, who knew how strict the Lord was, and this is not at all done, you know, to climb and touch the devotee with the feet. No, and this was the Lord. Even when we touch a devotee with the feet, we should profusely excuse ourselves. But she was standing on the Lord with her village feet. Govinda just somehow shouted, "Get down!" And she saw what she had done and went down. Govinda said, "You are touching the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with your feet." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still in the mood of longing for Krishna in Vrindavan, the darshan which he had been taken out by Govinda, where he had been awakened, turned around. He was not fully in his external consciousness, where he perceived the world the way we perceive it with our senses. He turned around to Govinda and said, "You primitive person, she has so much eagerness to see the Lord. I wish I would have that same amount of eagerness." Govinda said, "She's a woman. This is..." Lord Chaitanya then came to another level and went back to his place. But there he kneeled on the ground and was crying and crying. Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur talks about this mood of Lord Chaitanya, where he is crying in the deepest sense of humility. On all his fours, I hope it gives makes meaning in the English language, he was crawling around, sometimes stopping and drawing pictures into the sand with his finger, and crying for Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya in his home was expressing great lamentation and talked about in great humility that this lady is my teacher. She teaches me eagerness. And as you know from your readings of our scriptures, eagerness is the only prerequisite or price to pay to get Lord Krishna, no? So this is so wealthy in eagerness, and was explaining like this. To go to Vrindavan, this was the state of consciousness Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, and this is how he reacted to anything related to Braj Krishna, Vrindavan, and so on, with great humility and great eagerness. Lamenting his state. It is explained, no, it is like this, that in the Bhagavad Gita, the beginning is a chapter called Vishada Yoga, the Yoga of Lamentation. Arjuna is on his knees. He is crying. He is confused. He is völlig durchgedreht. And he explains, my Lord, I see no way out of this misery. Please instruct me. I cannot solve this. I don't know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay in Kurukshetra and fight with the opposite armies who are full of my relatives? Or should I become a mendicant and renounce everything? This struggle, this indecision tears me apart. And he's lamenting like this. Vishada. Visha means poison and da means to give. My dear devotees, if you want to come to Vrindavan, Sam, you have to accept the poison. The poison of lamentation. I'm fallen. I'm separate from Krishna. I'm Dean. I'm very, very wretched soul. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt himself at that moment. I'm so wretched. Even this lady from a village who most probably makes cow dung patties with her hands is superior to me. This fallen position comes, this lamentation comes from three causes. One is that you face your life in this material world and you develop something like dukkha, unhappiness. I'm not happy here in the material world. I'm only happy with Krishna. The second is fear. What will happen to me if I am not becoming Krishna conscious in this life, but I remain attached to material life? What will be my future? It is untold. Who knows in what way I will take my next birth? Fear. And the last is aparad, the devotee who wants to approach the Lord with a sense of humility and eagerness must know, my Lord, I have committed offenses against you by turning my back to you. In this way, we have spoken about this many times in our Govardhan retreat, a healthy dynamic is created. There's Lord Krishna on one hand, and the Vaishnava sees himself here in a very dainya position, wretched position, and he feels in this wretchedness, unhappiness, fear, and the bad feeling that I have committed aparad. And when he is like this, then revelation can come. This is like the subtle current which is established between the fallen and the highest. This is the sambandha, the relationship, the current of the relationship. I'm using the word current because because of the electrical thing. There's a high plus for a current to happen. There must be a plus pole and a minus pole. I'm not so good in technological knowledge, but this much I know. Huh? When this is there, a current, a tension, an energy can be established which connects the two poles. There's a positive and the minus. Increase the minus, you have a better current, actually. So in spiritual life, to have the current of sambandha, the feeling of relationship, you need to have two elements. Your own wretchedness, that's healthy, and Krishna's greatness. These two will create the current you require for your spiritual life. Let us meditate on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his room after this experience, saying, I have no eagerness, I have no qualification to Krishna, feeling so unhappy, feeling so much dainya. And let us understand the electric current of Bhava building up. That is a meditation I like to invoke in the beginning. So we always speak about humility in the Hare Krishna movement, which is wonderful. The word is dainya, this feeling of I'm fallen. But this feeling can bring psychological problems if it doesn't have the second element. If you just think you're fallen and wretched, you might develop a minority complex which descends further into dangerous patterns of psychological behavior, like supreme or an accelerated form of insecurity, etc. But when you have in your feeling of wretchedness the meditation on Krishna and Vrindavan, then the same thing which can create problems will develop that field in which revelation can take place. It will develop that mood in which you can enter into what some call the Vrindavan flow, you know, where you know my life is not under my control. Krishna has taken over and he gives me all these beautiful experiences and so on. A flow of the current of Krishna's mercy happens in this way. So Lord Chaitanya, we heard yesterday, attempted to go to Vrindavan right at his initiation time when he chanted the mantra of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, the Gopal mantra. He wanted to run to Vrindavan, but the devatas detained him by saying, first establish your mission in this world, then later you can go. If you so desire, please follow this advice. And there were other times he wanted to go. Finally, he was able to go. But before this physical journey, he made a mental journey, which he had described in a wonderful poem. See, there is a little problem in modern life. It tends to be empty. We can go now with swift airplanes from Frankfurt or Berlin, zoop to Delhi. We can take an air-conditioned Tata or Toyota 8-wheel drive car down the Yamuna Express Superway, and then we can stumble out of our car before the gates of the MVT building. And be in Vrindavan, but not be in Vrindavan. Everything went too fast. We had no time to prepare ourselves. We are empty-hearted or empty-minded as we stand in Vrindavan. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does it sometimes happen to you that you feel so empty in Vrindavan? Because your body is in Vrindavan, but your mind is in Assam or in Frankfurt or in the air-conditioned room. They're so empty inside. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a wonderful comparison of his mind, how he felt in relationship to Vrindavan. And we can see how he did, how he constantly is in his mind in Vrindavan. He gave an example of his mind. He compared him with a Kapalika mendicant. Do you know these black-dressed, thin mendicants? You find them in Orissa. In Vrindavan, I have also seen them. They have a black dress. They are usually very slim. They have big and starry eyes because they stay up in the night. And they usually have one earring. It's a golden. It looks like a gypsy earring for those of you from Europe. And they have a begging bowl and so on. They're black and you don't want to mess around with them. So he said, my mind has given up the comfort of home life. Means usually the soul stays in the house of the body. When you give up, in his analogy, my mind has left the body and the comfort the senses give it. And my mind has now taken to the profession of begging. This Kapalika mind goes to Vrindavan and there it walks from door to door. My mind has brought his 10 disciples with him. Who could imagine who are the disciples of the mind, the 10 disciples? There's 10 senses. Govinda Nam, you know everything. He goes to Vrindavan and walks from door to door with his disciples, the 10 senses, and begs from its residence alms, including the trees and creepers. Can you imagine the alms which the mind begs from the trees? Have you have maybe seen sometimes devotees, they touch their head to the trees, have you seen? And they stop and they beg. What do they want? Do they want the fruits of the trees? No, because the devotees stop before fruitless trees. They are not mango-bearing mango trees. They're just different types of seeds. What does the mind beg from the residence of Vrindavan? What will you beg? No idea? Money or Vic toffees? Krishna! Krishna Bhakti! Yes! This is how we approach the residence of Vrindavan. Give me love for Krishna. My mind, the beggar, needs to eat something. What does he eat? He always tastes the nectar of Krishna's attributes, which include his beauty, the sweetness, the aroma of his body, the sound of his flute, and the touch of the body. So the mind tastes, Hare Krishna, that's a monkey was. The mind tastes this, tastes Krishna through the five internal senses of perception, seeing, tasting, smelling, hearing, and touching. How does the yogi of my mind look? Well, he's wearing a ring on his ear. This ring is very pure gold. It was fashioned by Sukadev Goswami. It's Lord Krishna, in English we say circle dance or the rasa dance. That ring he always wears. He always hears about Krishna, exchange with his topmost devotees. The mind also has a begging bowl. It's the aspiration of my mind. This begging bowl, you should know. You should have some aspiration while you're here, some longing. And my mind bears a begging bag. These are my expectations. He wears a torn quilt. This is a first-class quilt, but his is torn. The torn quilt of anxiety. And his only words are, Alas! Krishna! Krishna. Oh, Krishna! Once Prabhupada was asked, how do we become Krishna conscious? It was in Hawaii. He was asked this question by one of his disciples. I believe, if I remember correctly, Yashodanandan. And he said, you become Krishna conscious by your anxiety. So the devotee thought, like most probably you are thinking also, oh, anxiety is not good. I mean, I have to go and take an anti-stress pill when it gets too much. Do I become really Krishna conscious by anxiety? It seems I forget Krishna when I'm very anxious. Prabhupada then specified, he said, not like that. You have to be anxious like Yashoda for Krishna. Not anxious for your own life. Anxious for Krishna. This is how you become Krishna consciousness. So here Lord Chaitanya says, my mind wears the torn quilt of anxiety. In other words, expressing it in simple and not so poetic terms, Lord Chaitanya's mind is there when he goes to Vrindavan. This is quoted from Anchalila in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is very important for us to also learn. My dear devotees, I know of pilgrims who went with donkeys and by foot and crossed the Himalayas to reach Mountain Kailash. And that's an entirely different pilgrimage than if you just jump into an airplane or in a jeep with air conditioned and high speed, but you never have time to prepare yourself. I'm sometimes thinking that this happens when we also open the Govardhan retreat on the first day, first morning lecture. We can see all our wonderful devotees, and many of them have just arrived jet lag is still in their eyes, and the worries of the unfinished businesses they left is the quilt of anxiety they wear. And as the Govardhan retreat commences, and the devotees apply themselves to hearing a lot about Krishna, they can feel how all of a sudden their mind becomes filled, and then they can relate much better with Giriraj. And at the end of the Govardhan retreat, after only 7 days, they feel miserable because they have to leave Govardhan. Yesterday I met one devotee and said, and I asked him, "How do you feel?" He said, "Miserable." "Acha?" I said, "Why?" 3 more days, then I'm back in Germany. I don't want to leave. And maybe in the beginning the devotee thought, "Oh, India, you are my severest test in life." He might have felt uncomfortable with the means of transportation, the ever hungry glimmer in the eyes of the vendors for excess rupees, the readiness to cheat for 20 rupees, and so on, the food which is too spicy and drives its contents and very quickly we lose it again. Let us be very cultured. So on. This, my dear devotees, goes when your mind is full, when the mind appreciates Krishna, when the mind has become a beggar of love, like the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about. So we can just imagine Gauranga Mahaprabhu, "Dule dule Gaura Chandra," swinging, being so happy. He is going to Vrindavan. It is described when he finally, after a long journey, where he did mostly kirtan, singing all day, singing and dancing towards Vrindavan, when he finally saw Mathura in the distance, he offered his obeisances, thup, flat into the dust of Vrindavan. This is something we can immediately apply from the teachings of the Bhagavatam, that when Akrura came to Vrindavan, the first thing is he jumped off the golden chariot and threw himself into the dust, where he could clearly see the footprints of Lord Krishna in the dust. He gave up all other considerations. Prabhupada says, this is the way to enter Vrindavan. Bow down. You must pay your obeisances. I always feel when I come to Vrindavan, and I discussed this with many of our God brothers, that we must offer really a lot of obeisances. Because by this offering of obeisances, we enter a humble state of mind. And only through this dhanya, through this road of humility and eagerness, can you enter Vrindavan. You cannot enter Vrindavan through the Yamuna Express Highway, I think it's called, or Superway, I forgot. You can only enter Vrindavan through the mood of Dainya, when your heart is full with these spiritual considerations of your own situation in this world and Lord Krishna, who is there inviting you to his holy dharma and inviting you. Then when you have this mood, the current is created so that Lord Krishna can manifest either in short memories when you remember Krishna or in ever-increasing forms of manifestation. Huh? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he only saw Mathura, he immediately paid his obeisances, and did his dandavat pranam, falling like a stick on the ground to offer his obeisances. On the way to Mathura, to Vrindavan, I should say this, Lord Chaitanya had chanted throughout the holy name. There are beautiful descriptions how he passed through jungles and made tigers chant and everyone else. In her silver jubileum year, silver or golden, or diamond, the Queen of England, who had ruled the country at least in a pro forma way for a long time, visited our Gurukul in London. I forgot the part of the good. We have a few Gurukuls, Avanti schools they are called. But do you know which part in London it was? Harrow. And she was asked on her visit, that the children chanted for her, and she appreciated this. And then she was asked on her visit to unveil a mural where there was the figure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approaching Vrindavan and chanting, and there were tigers dancing around him and elephants. And he was dressed in a short vesh, and the queen had not seen this, and she asked, "What is the gentleman doing?" England. "What is the gentleman doing?" she observed Lord Chaitanya on his way to Vrindavan. And the devotee said, he is singing. And the animals? Is he handling the animals? You know, like an animal handler who makes a tiger jump through a ring of fire? Is he doing that? No, Queenji. Queenji, this is not properly understood. You must know. He chants the holy name like the children did. He chants the holy name on his way. And he is so much filled with love in his heart that this name, that this chanting spreads to the tigers and animals who give up all their animosities. And they embrace each other and also chant. In this part where the animals are chanting, when they come to Lord Chaitanya on his way to Vrindavan, so full of eagerness, the Bhagavatam verse is quoted where it says that in Vrindavan there is no enviousness. Even so-called enemies, I mean, who were previously animals like the tiger and the deer, will live with each other and will feel very, very ecstatic. This is Vrindavan consciousness. I once was in Orissa, in the temple of, and was going to the temple of Gopinath, and you know what I saw? An illustration of the Vrindavan mood. I saw a cat, well-built cat, going into the temple. You know, even the animals take darshans. Here in Vrindavan also you would see cows taking darshans. Turtles in Radhakund go up and give darshan in the temple. Of Monkey Bihari, I think it's called, the deity. I've seen it. This animosity is gone in Vrindavan. Ah, so relieving. And I saw this cat going to Gopinath. And behind the cat, I saw a family of mice also going to take their darshan. And I thought, oh my God, usually the cat is the enemy of the mice, at least in Germany. And in India also. So here they were going to see the Lord who was in the center, and all animosity has gone. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, he was seeing the Lord and he was infusing everyone, including the animals, with the Vrindavan consciousness. And they were embracing each other without animosity and enmity. My dear devotees, as you are here in Vrindavan, try to look at your envy and animosity. If we have it all, it's bound to happen when you are in the material world. But it should not be cultivated in Vrindavan. In fact, it should be discarded. We should look at everyone, including what Jagatarini said yesterday, the pigs who have, and the dogs, and the everyone, even members of other who are not in the ISKCON movement, all these saints, sages, all devotees, they are all wonderful, searching for Krishna. We will remain on our path, knowing well that we can be, Krishna has sent us to our Srila Prabhupada and has sent us to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we will take nourishment from there only. That is the nourishing milk which will help us to grow in our spiritual life. But we will be respectful to even the ants. The only ones I personally have difficulties with is the mosquitoes. They are really a problem in this Vrindavan mood, you know, because they're attacking with lethal weapons, you know. They're dengue-infected pipe, you know, the spear, the lance. So, Hare Krishna. Good. This is about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approaching Vrindavan. We have heard a little about his inner mood. He compared himself, his mind, with a beggar who was begging love of Godhead on the door of all the Brijbasi residents. We have seen his great eagerness as he chants and dances to Vrindavan, and we see his reaction on finally beholding in the distance maybe the Keshava Mandir, that was maybe the highest structure at that time, and throwing himself into the dust in Dandavat Parikrama. These are some descriptions about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's journey to Vrindavan. I would like now to sing just very briefly with you a short kirtan, and request you to make your mind the Kapalika mendicant. In your mind, let us learn from this and beg in our mind for the rarely attained treasure of love of Godhead. I request you to turn a little bit towards facing Giriraj, who's here. My mind has given up the comfort of material life and taken to the profession of begging. He goes to Vrindavan and walks from door to door and begs from its residence, the arms of love. We only need to go 50 more meters with our mind, and we are at the eternal resident in Vrindavan of Vrindavan, Giriraj. Paramananda Daine, we say. He gives that Paramananda, the supreme ananda of love. We only have to ask.